So welcome to week two of our Sunday Table Talks. Last week we introduced you to this new format, which we won't do forever, but for now we thought it was a good opportunity for Bishop and I just to sit and talk. And we've invited you to ask us questions online, and we're trying to field some of those the best we can and just having conversations about some of these key issues. And so last week we talked about the reality of peace and how do we have it in a world that's filled with conflict, disappointment, tragedy, and discouragement. And so maybe some aspects of that we'll just talk about today, but another dimension of that, I think, is the reality of unanswered prayer. What happens when your prayers aren't answered? But specifically today, unanswered prayer, or just things that are taking a long time. I mean, a lot of us came into this quarantine, this pandemic, with one set of expectations, medically, politically, economically, and they turn into other things. And so we have things that have not happened quickly or at all. And so how do we process that as a Christian who the scripture does talk about us coming to God in prayer, but what happens when we have these kinds of disappointments? So wanted to talk to Bishop about it, and we'll have a conversation. So Bishop, let me just give you this opening question. What do we make of a reality that is not wielding or doesn't appear to be wielding to our prayers?
Well, good point. When we pray about things that impact the world, you know, we pray for our president, we pray about issues that concern us. There's so many other factors. There's the other human factor. Mm. And then there's evil in the world to go against the purpose of God. And then, as we alluded to last time, the area of end times. Mm. It's all that's kind of playing in a some level. And so does a person just throw up their hands and don't pray? Mm. No. But have realistic expectations. Mm. I think about the parable of the sower.
Wait, say more about that. Like, that's a really interesting idea. So praying, which is tied to the supernatural, and realistic expectations. Like, how do those two come together?
Well, it's realistic expectations of when we pray, expectations that's realistic. See, it's like sowing seed. And you're praying about matters. But oftentimes it involves the will of other people. Mm. And so those are the issues. Even, for example, now, you know, there's a bill before Congress and the House. Mm. It got passed. They're concerned about whether, you know, they can get it through the Senate because the, you know, Republicans are not quite feeling some of the things they want to add it in there. Mm-hmm. You're hopeful, and then they still haven't got the stimulus package out. Mm. Okay. And so all these things, so here people voted for the president, he got elected, and boom, and then there's delays. The realistic expectations are understanding how these laws are made. And when you understand, it's not that different than what it was before. Mm. It's the human factor, and that they need to be able to negotiate and maybe give and take. What happens, they put stuff in the bill that wasn't part of it, and then now the other party responds to it. If you get that out, we're good, okay? Sometimes that's the issue. Mm. And so those are things that we're not privy to, we're not talked about. So this understanding, it takes time. Mm. It takes time, and oftentimes longer than what you expect. I recall talking to a very experienced investment lawyer some years ago, and I don't want to hear it at first, but I experienced it. He says, things like this take much longer and cost more money. Mm. I said, oh God. Realistic expectations. Mm. So when you understand that, like the older people would say, you know, baby, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Let's relax. It's going to be all right. And so I know we want things to happen quicker, but in our prayers, there's other factors. There's opposition. There's a human factor that people who are involved, they have to submit to the will of God. Mm-hmm. So it involves other people's in decisions.
You know, so thinking about the reality of other people's will, I know for some people that could just feel discouraging. It's like, these people, my prayers are dependent on how other people think. I don't see them changing their mind in the near future. So that just seems like such an interesting reality with prayer. Some people imagine it, I know a lot of people imagine it like, this is me talking to God and this is what we're working out. But how are all these other people involved in my request? And I definitely hear what you're saying, but it's such an interesting thought.
You know, you bring up a good point, Dr. Josh. This is why it's important to not put all your stock, if you would, or hope in the world. Mm. So what can I do? I was reading an article about chefs who were discouraged. They got laid off from the restaurants and they didn't know what to do. And then somebody had a bright idea. Let's us chefs come together and have and put our menus together. One has a Korean style, one has an Indian style, one has another flavor. And they start working together and selling their product and started doing well. They make a decision, what can I control? Okay, I'm waiting for somebody else. It's very much like the man who sat for 38 years at the pool of Bethesda and waiting on a man. Jesus came by, would you be healed? I would, but you know, when I get up, the water's troubled, somebody beats me to it, and I have no man to help me. And too often, that's the mentality as Christians we need to not embrace, because things do take longer, so we have to adjust. What can I do now? I think about the prophet talking to the lady who was about to give up. He asked her, what do you have in your house? She said, I don't have nothing but a pot and some oil. She had something. She didn't see the potential and the value until he challenged her to work with it.
That's good. That's good. You know, I listen to you. What I'm thinking about is, I think it feels like a lot of times we have a preconceived idea of what victory looks like. And so when it's presented to us on another platter, we say, I don't want that. And not understanding that that's a pathway to peace. We talked about last week, a pathway to peace or a pathway to victory. But we reject it because it doesn't fit our preconceived idea of what an answered prayer is. And like you said, it may come in phases as opposed to right away. And God may in fact be working on somebody's heart, but because it hasn't happened yet or on our terms, we get disappointed with it.
That is important, because if it's a critical thing to you, for example, that you want to accomplish and involves other people, then you pray and make the best of the situation. Mm-hmm. Good example, we'll talk about it later, but marriage, okay? You want your spouse to change and you know, attitude. You know, you want to strengthen the marriage, you just kind of work at it. And pretty soon you talk about it and ask God to touch your heart. And oftentimes you come together. They begin to see your side because you're taking more of a love approach. You're not pressing the issue all the time. You're just waiting on God and casting the care upon Him, for He cares for us. And God has a way to deal with people's heart. I've seen that not just for me. My wife wanted things, and I was kind of, I wasn't ready to do that. Then I changed my mind, and same way with her. I backed off. The classic example, when I wanted her to lose some weight after having all the babies. And I reminded her, I said, I won't buy her no dress bigger than this, and that wasn't helping. Finally, I said, Lord, I'm going to give it to you. Give it to you. And stop talking about it. And she got up early in the morning with other ladies in the church, going to work out and walk early in the morning, started losing weight. And I realized she was doing the very thing I wanted her to do, but she had to be motivated on her own, her decision. And it took longer, but I appreciate, you know, what she did and so forth. So that kind of thing with human will, most people don't want to be pressured. And when they're pressured, they won't even hear God oftentimes. And God may be speaking to them, but they're reacting to the emotional situation. So when they're able to make a decision that's more in peace, they see the reality of it, God speaking to them, and now it makes sense and you can make progress on your prayer.
Yeah, I mean, you're bringing some things that are close to home. I mean, so number one, our prayers being connected to people, and they may not be tied to they might not have our goals or desires, but then it really gets close to home with the people that we live with, whether it be our spouse or someone we work with. Certainly in the political arena, you know, people of different sides of the aisle politically or in an action with somebody. I know next week we're going to talk a bit more about the dynamics of family and marriage and what have you, and what that has to do with navigating these times. But speak more about like the because it's one thing to talk about, you know, working with somebody that is very close to us, where we really want something different. But it's another thing to deal with the reality of it. And, you know, it's someone you're married to, or it could be a parent or a child or a coworker. I mean, you're with them every day. How do you stay motivated in prayer with the day-to-day interaction with somebody who seems to be at odds with your prayer?
Right. You know, it's interesting. The scripture talks about in Peter that we husbands dwell with our wives according to knowledge, as a weaker vessel, now that she's weak and she's not as strong as most men. that our prayers be not hindered. So when in that context, I think about it, my wife, things that we've kind of had differences on and so forth and we're on the same page, I'm praying, but it's being hindered because I'm not relating to her well about it. And so I had to back off and you know, just give her space and let it be her decision. Let her come to reality of it and let God speak to her about the matter. And it to me, it may be time sensitive, but, and I think we may have missed an opportunity or what have you, and she just hasn't come around yet. And then all of a sudden she comes around and God has a way when you have peace and you're in his will to make up for lost time. He has a way to make a way where there was no way. It's about the agreement. It's about the peace. And so likewise in this environment, there's a lot of things going on that can be drawn on our attention and concerns. But when it involves other people, if it's critical, then maybe a life or death, then you make an adjustment. You know, maybe work with someone else or what have you. But when it's family and loved ones, where you're kind of tethered together, then it really requires, or a business partner, it really requires some level of patience. And patience, you know, the word we don't like to hear a lot, but that's part of it. Mm. Let patience have her perfect work. Mm. It's working. Mm. It looks like it's not working.
That's good. That's really good. I think that, you know, what I'm learning is and hearing is that there's a corollary to our prayer life, and that is our relationship with people. And we could be hindering ourselves because we're not engaging with people very well. And they may be the key to an answered prayer, but we're holding it up because our people skills, social skills, or just even our love walk is not refined. So that's very interesting. And I think that, you know, I think that's different than the way a lot of people think about prayer. As I was saying earlier, it's just between me and God. And God, you, I'm asking you, you got the power, what's up? And God's probably saying, yeah, what's up? You know, why aren't you? And so I really like that, because it takes us back to this reality that, you know, if we're not loving our brother or sister well, then we don't really understand God's love. Can you say more about the love walk and how it affects outcomes in our lives?
Yes. Well, first of all, we grow in love. We become better at it. It's a choice. It's a choice to hold back your tongue. It's a choice to be kind. It's a choice to be more tolerant. It's the choice to not be judgmental. It's a choice to be patient. And so that's something, because especially in America, we have such convenience, and so the sense of the culture is to make it happen. You see it happen, overnight successes and so forth. All that is wonderful, but that's not the standard. It's not what happens in most people's lives, the overnight wonders. They had a break and we're happy for them, boom, worked out. But most people, it's not going to happen that way, because it's just not how life works. If you look at the general situation, most people, how they move forward is by being faithful. Being faithful. So the love walk is, it really is about doing those characteristics in love mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. A kind, patient, long-suffering. Now think about that term, long-suffering. It's a suffering piece. Long-suffering. But that's not American thinking. But we're not Americans, we're the kingdom believers. And so the suffering piece, you know, it doesn't mean you gotta cut your hand and all that kind of stuff, but it's putting up with. That's it.
Say more about that. I'm just thinking about how people might be processing that. I mean, what does that mean in practice with someone who may be exploiting me? Someone who may be abusing me, someone who may be harming me.
Yeah.
Certainly those are extremes. In their levels, of course, but speak more to what this looks like in practice for a person.
Well, putting up with long suffering is a person's habits, the behaviors. You know, for example, mom, my wife, she likes to have things really set up when we leave and go travel. And I'm thinking, well, we got to get to the airport. And she wants to make the bed and, you know, make sure the dishes are washed. I say, you know what, we gotta go. And that would frustrate me, you know, and she hadn't got ready and all that. So I just decided to calm down a bit or a lot. And then I know we got a pack, so I put the suitcase right near the door. She had to walk by it or walk over it to get out the door. Finally, she sees it, and she starts throwing stuff in there. And sometimes, you know, we'll go, and she may have forgot something. If it's essential, we'd bought another one. I refuse to let it be a problem. And I would tell her, I said, babe, things always work out for us. It always work out for us. And they do. One time the plane has got delayed late. I thought we were going to miss it, but it worked out. And I said, see how it worked out for us. So hindsight and that experience in walking in love, we can experience more peace on the way to the airport when it worked out. Or if we missed the flight, which we did one time, we were there on time. We sat across from where the ticket booth was, and then we're conversating, and I'm on the phone, and then I realized we missed our flight.
Now say more about the statement, things always working out for you. I think some people may say, well, what does that mean? So if things don't work out for me, I'm missing something, or what is it, does it mean I'll never miss a flight, or does it mean, what does it mean precisely?
That's a really good question. The workout is, it may not have, I may have missed a flight, which I did in that example. I got there a little late. I missed the first part of the meeting, but it was the dinner intro kind of thing, and then the rest of it was really good. So what I missed out on was not detrimental. Mm. So I say it worked out. So yes, there may be some things that didn't quite work out the way you anticipated, what you wanted, but at the end result, it worked out really well for you. You walk away with a positive experience. And so I'm not focusing on, but I missed the dinner, the first night dinner. You know what? The rest of it was so good. Met people, got ministered to, we had a good time. It overshadowed that one thing we missed. It worked out. So that's what I mean by it always worked out for us, where it's a positive experience, or we accomplished our overall goal. Maybe an end around, a little delay, but it works out overall. It didn't come out the way we thought, you know. It works out when we bought our house and, you know, where we live now. We had a second mortgage on it. It wasn't what I thought, but it worked out. And it was a stretch, but it worked out. Mm.
That's good. So I'm gonna try to put some of the things we have together so far. So 3 points I've gotten so far from this. So one, with respect to unanswered prayer or delayed answers to prayer, one, let's have a flexible definition of victory. A flexible definition of what it means to be successful or the prayer being answered, because there may be a pathway to it, or may already be answered in a way we're not seeing it. Number two, our love walk.
Yeah.
That our relationship with people can be the difference in how a prayer is answered or not, because let's face it, I mean, most things are transmitted through relationships.
Yeah.
And the third, it appears, is like to have a focus on the big picture, not the small picture. So when you say things work out, you're not saying every little thing, like I got this parking space or not, or we all experience disappointments, but what's the big picture here? God is always working, all things are working together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. There's a bigger picture. That's good. And I've heard it said before, look, God is the one who gets to define good.
Right.
So momentarily, it may not be pleasant, but it's working toward good, and we can be thankful. We could be thankful for that.
You know, you said it really well, Dr. Josh, and that's powerful. Going back to what I mentioned about good expectations of people and realistic, the parable of the sower, there's four types of ground, and they're all people the word sows into. Some are distracted, cares of the world, some, you know, offended, just different, but one bore fruit. When I first heard that, it was Dr. Al Bernard that taught it at a minister's meeting, And he said, having realistic expectations, some people, they may not bear fruit at all or not now.
Mm.
Okay? I can be upset and let it rob my peace, or I can be thankful for the one that did bear fruit. Keep working on that, and then maybe this other one may come in later. And so that's, you know, it's the adjustments, it's the realistic expectations. We want everything to work out good. We're shooting for the stars. But the reality is, it doesn't always work out as the same way as you thought, but when you keep at it and don't give up, don't cast away your confidence and walk away, then it won't work out. because you walked away. Mm. But if you stick with it because you believe it's a God purposeful thing, then you get the results. It may look a little different though.
That's good. That's good. I like that. I so what I'm hearing is, if you can see the big picture, you can appreciate the small picture. So there's some intermediate goals, and again, going back to a sports analogy, going with sports, so you got a losing team. You got to find W's where you can get them. You may not win the game, but hey, let's win the quarter. Hey, we may be losing this game. Let me bring in my second string players to get some reps. We're going to find some W's in the pathway toward a game W. And that I think that's really important, because talk about not casting away your confidence. Your mindset can't always be on the disappointment, because you won't be encouraged to continue.
Exactly. You know, it's interesting. We mentioned earlier about how I'm responding to Apostle Price's passing. Well, some years ago, not too many years ago, I brought him back to South Africa. He had not been there in 20 years. Mm. And so I wanted him to come back with us, and he came. And it was so powerful. I went to his office to kind of make sure we're clear on what's going to happen. And he understands. And I said, could you bring a teaching series and teach on who I am in Christ? Why? Because when I first came to church in 1973, that impacted my life and really got my sense of identity, who I am in Christ. He immediately said, no. I'm thinking, why? He said, I got more revelation now. Mm. I can't take that off the shelf and teach it now 30 years or more later because I have more revelation. Mm. He grew, he learned, gone deeper. That's the way life is. Mm. So we have expectation. We learn, I got the big picture, but I'm appreciating the small stuff too. And let God just bring it about. Even though it did not work out exactly the way I wanted, it worked out. And I still got the overall results in terms of accomplishment. And then I appreciated what God added. See, I may not get, for example, I may not have got the side dish I wanted because they ran out. Mm. But what they substituted worked out really well. Mm. I'm not complaining. Mm. You know, they ran out. So it just works out. So it's with that attitude part, that's the faith piece. Mm. You're expecting, see, because if I start talking death, talking doubt, talking, then I just closed the door to everything in that direction. Mm. As opposed to, that's why I tell my wife, mom will tell you, I tell her, things always work out for us. Mm. One way or another. Mm. That's what I mean by that.
That's good. I'm taking as you speak, and you're talking about how our realities can affect the way we speak. What I'm taking away from it, I know we live in an environment where if you wanted to, you could talk about tragedy all day in a real way. I mean, there are real things going on that are discouraging or what have you. And, you could decide not to focus on the things that are going well. I know I just hosted a panel last week. Well, not last week, but a few weeks ago. And it was focused on business and African-Americans in business. And we were reflecting on the Black Wall Street massacre in the early 20th century, how there was a prosperous Black community, and there was a white community who was envious, and they began to riot and tear it down and burn it down. And what does the Black entrepreneur think about that today? And I interviewed three really successful entrepreneurs. Their success is not being highlighted in the media.
Yeah.
All three of them are doing well, and they're not the only ones. And that's not to dismiss the reality of people who are hurting economically in the African American community, but I think that we can decide where we turn our attention. And because on the one hand, we have to deal with the reality of people's challenges and be compassionate and not just say, well, I'm doing well and you're not.
Yeah.
But we still need to maintain a focus on what's possible and hopeful. Otherwise, no one can help anybody, right, if we don't have that. So I really like the kind of focus, the area of our focus, putting it on something that is moving forward.
Yes. And really, obviously you expect God to be positive and have a good expectation. But as children of God, we should look to him, and he's going to give us a sense of hope and direction and leading. But our expectations is huge. Mm. In fact, there was a study done of Jewish men who were in during the German incarceration, and that the men who endured the incarceration of other Germans. There were men who were married and had family to come back to. Mm. Single men had no marriage, they weren't married, no children. Mm. Most of them did not live. Set aside the gas chambers, just in the prison and so forth, because they had something to look hopeful for. Mm. I got a wife, I got my son and my daughter to come back to. If I have nobody, what am I looking forward to? Mm. And so it was part of the study they did of probably thousands of people, and they realized, how did you make it? And they saw the parallels. Mm. And so hope is huge for us, and that Satan would love to amplify, but we're not going to drink the Kool-Aid. We look at the word. I mean, he will amplify all the negative, and we got to be able to have a limited, how much we can handle of the negative and the bad things and the bad numbers. I just tune off, and I watch what I think is appropriate, and I focus on what God has called me to do in my life and what's important to me. And so that helps me stay focused and kind of put blinders on to a certain degree. I'm not exposing myself overly where it dominates my thinking. Because the way we think, so are we.
That's good. As you're talking, I kind of want to go back to something you said before, and this may be our last point. We have time for it. But when you talked about the growth piece, I thought that was really important, because it's like, wow, that's really good. Because I can think about myself, just the life I've lived. There are things that I don't want to say I don't have to pray about, but like now that I'm grown and I'm matured, I can access them in ways that I couldn't. And just like the growth of another person or their relationship with them, the status of that can affect prayer. My own personal growth and development is a factor in the way prayers get answered in my life.
Big time. Big time.
And I would like for you to speak briefly, because we only have a few more minutes, but about like just having pastored for so many years and seeing people, you get to watch somebody over the course of their lives grow up from a child to an adult, or young in their marriage, older in their marriage. Can you say just a little bit about the growth process and just what you've observed in people's lives?
Well, I can think of one couple. I didn't know they were married at first, because they would go to separate services and rarely sat together until later. And he was planning to divorce his wife when his last daughter turned 18. Mm. He told me that, just casually told me. Nothing provoked it, he's told me.
Wow.
And so what happened, he began to grow. Mm. He began to mature. In fact, there's another couple very similarly. They were kind of like separate, having marital problems. And then they started sitting together, going to honey dripping and just doing, they grew. The husband would really be on his wife's case because she was gaining weight and all that, and it was just frustrating her. She needed more food, she was frustrated. And finally, he just began to love her. And as before they both passed, they had a wonderful life together. That's growth, that's maturity. And so certain things, we may undermine our prayers because we're really worried about it. We're really trying to, we really worry. And worry undermines our faith, as opposed to God, I'm resting in you. Mm. And I can be about something else to preoccupy me. It may not be what I'm waiting on, but I'm open. I'm believing you to open that door. And I'm not giving up unless God says, pivot, do something else. That's good. But if it's still something, a possibility, I'm looking to him, but I'm not preoccupied worrying about it. And that's the growth piece, that we all can grow in various areas of our life. And then you get to a place when you're older, and when they say to you, Sonny, baby, it's going to be all right. And we're saying, it's not all right now. Just live a little longer. You'll realize it's going to be all right.
No, that's good. I've gotten that advice before, talking with somebody, and they were just saying, hey, you need to talk to somebody who's seen 1,000 of you. I'm telling you, they'll have a different perspective. You're experiencing this for the first time, but... look, this will pass. You don't know.
Come on.
So that's good. So let me try to sum up our points here. So the 5 things I think I've gotten from this conversation. One, with respect to unanswered prayer or prayer, there's answers that have been delayed. One, look, have a flexible definition of victory is one, right? I mean, we have to be open to how God may bring forth what we need, because he has a different perspective than what we have. And we may be missing out by eliminating options that God is presenting to us. Number two, our relationships with people are key, because, things happen through relationships, and the quality of a relationship may affect the speed or even whether a prayer is answered at all. So our love walk needs to be a priority. The third is to have the big picture, right? We've got to have the big picture in mind, because we may in the short term not experience the things we prefer, but if we look at the big picture, we can continue to have a heart of thanksgiving as God begins to bring the things to pass. God works all things together for good for them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. The fourth thing I got from it was the reality that as we see the big picture, we can then go back and appreciate the small picture. Here's a W. It may not be the with a capital W, but I'll take the little W. And that gives us the confidence and the encouragement. And I think as we're encouraged in those spaces, we'll be encouraged to grow personally.
Yeah.
Because then we have more the capacity to be patient, to be long-suffering, to continue even when we're discouraged. So that the commitment to personal growth, I think, really sums it all up in many ways. So this is fantastic. Thank you, Bishop, for your thoughts on this. And I'll hand it back to you really to talk to our audience about how they can connect further with Christ, but also to connect with this, with how the joys of walking in the kingdom of God and what it can do for us as we keep our focus on Jesus. He has solutions for us like the ones we talked about today.
Wonderful. Thank you. Well, I want to encourage you. You got practical insight, the kind of insight you may not normally get on a Sunday morning or in a Bible study unless you have interaction like we do. And I'm glad we did it. But that's because we're in community. And you have an opportunity to be part of our community. As opposed to just kind of being where you are, we're all mostly virtual right now, so we understand that. But to be part of a community of people who are walking through things and may have gone down further down that road than you have, but it can give you advice and encouragement and support. It's not just advice, but support of a community. And people oftentimes, their family in another part of the country, another part of the world, don't have the relationship, may not know their parents that well, and siblings, but there's a community that, and the Bible says, there's a friend that's thick is closer than a brother. That's what a community like this offers you. But it begins with you receiving Christ or recommitting your life to Christ to grow in this community relationships and grow in Christ. So if you're ready to receive Christ today, I want to pray with you right now. And I believe that some of you, if not many of you, are prepared to do that. If so, repeat after me. Dear Father God, I come to you just as I am. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is now my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father, for saving me. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul and filling me with the Holy Spirit. If you said that, which I believe you said it in earnest, you're now born again and restored into the kingdom. You don't stop there, you continue. To get more information on how to connect to our Zoe community, just text Zoe Saved. And I tell you, my friend, we'll connect with you, encourage you, and we'll just grow together. It's an opportunity for all of us. Thank you for joining in today, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us this Sunday. We'll see you next week.